On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, week 7 game picks, game of the week, Buccaneers and Lions. The Bucs are so beat up. I don't know how the hell they're going to win this game, but we're going to take a look at it. Along with that, Sunday Night Football, 49ers and Falcons. And, well, there's two Monday Night Football games, Detroit and Tampa. And then at 10 p.m., Seahawks, Texans. Can the Seahawks keep it going? Can the Texans get it going? Yeah, CJ hates Monday Night Football doubleheaders. All that and more. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We got a good one lined up for you today. Today being Friday the 17th. Well, technically it's Thursday. We're recording on Thursday, but you know what I mean. Two Monday Night Football games, two teams on the bye, Buffalo and Baltimore. And then later tonight we'll be, or later today, we'll be doing a recap of the Thursday night game between the Bengals and the Steelers. You want to give a little prediction on tonight?
Old. That's all old. Just old. BetMGM put out this cool stat how this is the 4th oldest QB matchup ever between Joe Flacco and Brett Favre. You combine their age, it's like 81 years or something weird like that. I think the oldest was like a few years ago is Drew Brees, Tom Brady, so which they combined up to be like 84 or something equally insane. So, the more you know, kids. As far as my prediction goes, it's going to be ugly, but I'm going Pittsburgh on this one because I feel like even as Joe Burrow sells into that Cincy offense, it's just over. Your season Joe died Flacco. As soon as, you know, that's what I meant, Joe Flacco. Sorry, Joe. But yeah, your season died as soon as Joe Burrow went down. Like, it's over. There's more Trey Hendrickson trade rumors swirling. Just get Jamar Chase the ball for the fantasy owners. You know, get T. Higgins the ball for fantasy owners, and you should be fine, Bengals. But they want to see T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and all of them do what they do. And for the Steelers offense, if you can just be serviceable, you win.
You mentioned trades. We got a few trade storylines already this week. When's the trade deadline again?
Should be like week 9 or so.
It's going to be fun. Might need to do some emergency pods for that one.
Oh, no.
Rooski game of the week, Monday Night Football, Buccaneers and Lions. Lions coming off of a loss on Sunday night against the Chiefs. The Bucs, well, they just keep on winning. They're 5-1, 3-0 on the road. Lions are undefeated at home, 2-0. But I think all signs may be leading to Tampa might be leading to Detroit here. You know, it's, there gets to a point where a team just gets so beat up, but so injured. We saw that with the Lions. I mean, we were talking about this briefly earlier, CJ, that like Baker won't have 1-2 wide receivers, 1-2-3, and maybe 4. So we are picking at the bottom of the barrel here. Cade Otton is going to be the main target. He's still doing it, Bucky Irving. Going to rely a lot on Rashad White. On the Lions side, news about Brian Branch, we mentioned on Tuesday's episode that he was going to be suspended for a game, along with him appealing the suspension, of course. Suspension has been officially upheld, so he will be out for this game. Tarion Arnold, potentially going to miss it this week as well. Is he going to miss this week?
It is trending that way, yes.
Okay. So a little bit of injuries on the Detroit side, but you look at Tampa Bay and there's just, it's just more devastating. It's more devastating. I know Baker has been playing at an MVP level and is, it's not, not basically, he has been putting this damn team on his back. And that's why he's right now second in MVP voting, if I'm not mistaken. But if I were to choose anyone right for this game, it'd have to be Detroit. Just too many injuries on the Tampa side for me to think that they're going to win this.
This is going to be a weird game as far as injuries go. And it's not even just that, you know, the Bucks are missing all their wide receivers and Bucky Irving. Baker Mayfield is literally missing one of his guards and like both of his tackles. And the fact he's still doing that is unbelievable. Now for the Lions, you're missing a solid chunk of your defensive backfield as well. So this is literally the stoppable force versus the movable object. And honestly, this might be the game where Tampa's luck runs out. You know, you're going to be in front of a tough Detroit crowd. And this is actually going to be huge. The Lions just got embarrassed by an enigma of a Chiefs team. And you know they're going to be playing angry. They're going to want to go out. You know, they're going to go out, play hard at home, and punch the first thing they see in the mouth. Now, I think it's going to be close. Closer than a team down wide receivers 1-4 should make it. Because, you know, Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield doesn't have that dog in him. That dog has Baker Mayfield in him. And I think it's going to be scary for the Lions, but considering the fact that Bucks defense, especially their back four, isn't necessarily the greatest, I think it's going to create just enough of a difference to secure Detroit the victory. But yeah, I just think Tampa's luck runs out, even though Detroit's got their own problems on defense with injuries. But I just think you can't go this long without missing over half your offense and keep winning. I mean, don't get me wrong, Baker's going to play well. It's going to be close, but I just think this is the Lions' night. And let the record show that our good friend Adam, who's producing right now, was the first one to predict the Lions. It was just a feeling he got. He texted it to us last night. And the more I think about it, yeah, I can definitely see that. But let the record show our other co-host who cannot make it, Tuck, picked Tampa for this one. So maybe he's onto something the rest of us aren't. You never know.
Yeah. Adam said that, and I was like, yeah, no, he's right about that. And so right now, Cody Mauch, Luke Goedeke still out on IR. Luke Haggard, their guard, is currently questionable. But other than that, that's all the injuries that they have. Obviously, having 2/5 of your O-line isn't the most most flattering thing in the world. And potentially losing your backup guard or your starting guard, really. So it could be interesting. Mike Evans began practicing this week as well. So that could potentially be good. I think this was about the timetable that they were saying on Mike Evans, but this is a common thing. You know, hamstring injuries are always weird. So don't be surprised if he does end up missing this week as well. He's currently listed as questionable. Like Buka is questionable. Godwin is doubtful. He hasn't really been getting it going since he came back from that ACL tear anyways. So I don't know how much of an impact he would have made to begin with. But yeah. Anything else you want to touch on for this?
No, not really.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the week 7 early slate. This is the Fumble Rooster Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooster Podcast. Get into the NFL London game. Jacksonville versus the Rams. Rams are favored at 2.5. And, well, the big story with the Rams is no Puka Nacua. Going to miss a considerable amount of time. Hard to say if Nacua will practice this week was the update that they had. But I I don't see him playing. From the report that I saw, I thought that he was going to miss some time, but turned out that they did, in fact, dodge a long-term injury. So it's going to be more or less day-to-day, but I don't see him playing this week. So that leaves you with Davante Adams as your number one, which is also very solid. But this is a Jags defense that has been stepping up to the plate recently. You know, last week they went up against Seattle. That was a dogfight. Chiefs game, they let up 28 points, but they stepped up big at the goal line and got a pick six. Those were probably the Jags defense has potential, just a matter of which Jags defense you're going to get. For the Rams, there are also games for the Rams where they are not entirely offensively there, but I got a feeling this game is going to change that. This is going to be one of those games where they're entirely there. Puka or not, I'm going the Rams this week. Taking down the Jags in London.
It's London, so I have to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars here. This is a scrappy team. This is a team that has a lot of fight in it, and they will overcome hell, high water, and Shane Waldron to do it. And Stafford, throughout his entire career on the Rams, or just in general in his entire career, tends to play favorites. He is one guy that he leans on, and the rest gets scraps, you know, from Calvin Johnson to Cooper Kupp, now Puka. And Puka's hurt. I want to see how well he adjusts. And like you said, the Jags defense is slowly becoming one of the more underrated units in the league. And that being said, I do have to lean Jacksonville here because I think not having Puka, even with Davante Adams, you can just double him now. Like, you're free to do that. I think that's going to hurt them a lot more than people think. And once again, the Jags' second home is in London. It's practically a home game for them. I got the Jags here, especially after they fell to Seattle. I don't think they're going to let that happen again.
See what happens with that. New Orleans and Chicago. Chicago favored by 4.5 at Soldier Field. This is looking at it on ESPN right now, right? Guess what the ticket price for this fucking game is? As low as.
Tickets. As low as $45.
Too low.
Oh, see, you can't just say that. Then 60.
Way too low. Still low. Way too low. You got to go way higher.
100. 100 flat.
Higher.
Okay, that's a bit much. Look, don't get me wrong. Even though Chicago's terribly expensive and for no reason, you can't justify this. We'll call it a 135.
226.
Gross. No, see that? No. You can't. No, I don't care if you think Caleb's the guy. I don't care if you think Ben Johnson's the guy. I am not about to watch the Bears play the Saints for triple digits. You're out of your gourd. Look, I don't know if the governor or the mayor's got to step in or something, but that is highway robbery. Forget South Chicago's crime rate. The biggest robbery is happening at Soldier Field this Sunday. Good God. No, if you are paying over $100 for Bears tickets, and you think you said as low as, that's nosebleeds. Are you okay? I'm here if you need to talk. That's all.
I pray those people got those tickets ahead of time when they weren't $226.
Amen.
But looking at the game in general, Bears are a bit of a 25-24 merchants. Those are the scores of the last two games that they've played, coming off of a great revenge game against Washington, Monday night this past week. I like Caleb right now. Caleb's like, obviously there's like some good things, some bad things, but overall you could say he's doing much better than he did last year, producing some win. Like, he's doing the job that they need him to do to get wins on the board.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Jeez. It's so bizarre watching this Bears team. I mean, yeah, Caleb will go up and play lights out, and he'll take advantage of the opponent's mistakes. And then the very next game, he just falls apart. It's so weird just trying to gauge him. But I think this is a step in the right direction because, like I said last week, you know, the Commanders aren't slouches. They're just not. And being able to win like that, especially on a last-second field goal, which is something that they are known to not make, I definitely have to tilt with the Bears here because the Saints are a team that's going to play you hard, but not hard enough to win.
Yeah. Saints definitely going to give them a game. I'm going to go with the Bears here, but this could easily be a letdown game. Maybe the Bears. I'd say the Bears, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, obviously, if it's a letdown game, but in the sense that they just don't play well. Like, spread's 4.5. I could see the Saints covering this.
Yeah. I think the Saints are going to cover. I mean, that's just how the Saints are. It's always one score game, but I still think Chicago's just got enough firepower to take them down.
Yeah.
Depends if the Saints have the refs helping them. I mean, heck, they were gifted so many great situations last week against New England. They just couldn't do it. So yeah. I don't think it's going to happen again.
You could honestly say that they got away with not losing by more than 2 scores. Miami and Cleveland. Golly, this is going to be something. Big story with this game is the weather report. The weather report is rather frightening, to say the least. Right now, trying to pull it up, but there's too many. Either way, they're expecting 50-plus mile-an-hour wind gusts this weekend, along with just heavy, heavy downpour of rain. It's going to be a nice 64 degrees, but boy, it's not going to be pretty over at Huntington Bank Field, to say the least. Rain, more rain, wind, and wind. They're expecting wind gusts at kickoff to be 30 miles an hour or 36 miles an hour. So, pretty crappy weather. At least that was according to Accru Weather. I did see another report that it could get up to 50, though. But
regardless, it's going to be over 40, and that's going to make kicking something. Will we see more two-point conversions? I don't know. But either way, even without the win, this is the Dolphins and the Browns. Adam, you make memes. Can you do that meme of Cartman from South Park running around the town screaming, "Cripple fight! Cripple fight!" That's how I view this Dolphins-Browns game. Good God. Good God. Just what a... Ugh. And the thing is, I want to go with Miami here. I do. And that's what I'm going with. But that was before I heard those wind gusts are going to be there because Miami's a team that just, they're very pass happy. They love their trick plays. They love to just take random shots and the wind's going to affect them a bit. But if Tua can at least check down like Dylan Gabriel on the Browns does, then I think they're going to win. And the key is Devon Achan. That guy's a monster. Save him from Miami, someone. So, yeah, I still have to go up Miami because, I don't know. I mean, Dylan Gabriel looked good in his first game, but that second game, that was rough.
Yeah. I'd say if the weather is going to do what the weather is going to do, I'm going to give the advantage to the Browns because the Dolphins do not play good when weather is related. Yeah, it's going to be on – going to be 60s. It's going to be 60s. But bad weather means bad football for Miami, especially when a team like this is trying to play with speed. It's going to slow them down. I know that Dylan Gabriel hasn't been playing great, but give me the Browns. I foresee a Quinshon Judkins going off type of game.
Perhaps I could see that.
Yeah. Also, what did you make of the Tua press conference? Him calling out his teammates for not showing up to or showing up late to players only meetings.
We got to move on, so keep it brief. But that's the type of stuff that's got to stay in the locker room. The presser vultures, you do not give them that ammo. Maybe the CTE is working overtime. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Starts with the leader of the locker room, and Tua is the leader of the locker room, or should be. Tennessee and New England. The return of Mike Vrabel to Tennessee, the original or his first head coaching gig, did a lot for Tennessee, and they kicked him out the door. And Tennessee, basically, if you were to look at the last few years for the Titans, it's been pretty bad. They fired their GM in 21 after him and Vrabel were in a power dispute, essentially. And then the next year, hired what's-his-face. That same year. Huh?
They went from John Robinson to Rand Carthon.
Yes. Carthon then fires Vrabel after a power struggle. Carthon gets fired shortly thereafter. And now Brian Callahan gets fired. It's bad. And now you have Mike Vrabel coming to town with his New England Patriots team that's 4-2 and at the top of the AFC East. I can only see bad, bad, bad things for the Titans. So give me the Pats by a billion. As long as the referees don't call Stephon Diggs for breathing on a defender.
Yeah. Hey, NFL, I hope you learned your lesson for that heinous ref ball that took place last time the Pats played. And you know what's bad when, like, non-Pats fans are calling it out? Like, Sports Illustrated even did an article about what the hell was that. Yeah. But, yeah, Mike Vrabel can say to the contrary all he wants, but I know he's seeing red for that Titans game. I think they're going to march right into Nissan Stadium, and they're going to handle their business. The offense is anemic. The defense, borderline non-existent. Just go out there and let Drake May cook. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and Adam just chimed in. They're not even going to have Calvin Ridley. So, yeah. And I know some people are fretting about the backup head coach bump. Because, you know, there's backup QB bump. There's interim head coach bump. But apparently that all but disappears when an interim head coach is facing a team above 500. I think they're like 6-17 or something incredibly lopsided like that.
Interesting. You want to hear a Drake May stat?
I would love to hear a Drake May stat, yes.
A, I love Drake May. B,
we all do.
Drake May leads the league in completion percentage on throws of 20-plus air yards at 71.4%.
Oh, I heard that. Isn't the league average like 40?
40.3%. Yeah. Insane. Insane. Drake May. Drake freaking May. Want to hear a Patriots O-line stat?
Sure.
Remember the stat I was telling you about? It's true pass set grade?
Yeah.
The Patriots are now in fifth. Now in fifth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Will Campbell was just a guard. Yeah. Y'all were wrong on that one. But
yeah.
But yeah, so we're both picking New England. Our fellow Pats fan, Adam, is also picking New England. And even Tuck, our lovable curmudgeon Ravens fan, is picking New England. Love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Next game on the list, the Chiefs and the Raiders. I think you got to get. So what point do you get before you bench Geno Smith?
You know, I was pondering that myself. But then I realized, who do they even have behind them? No, like, I mean dead serious. Like, that's not even a joke or a hypothetical. Who is the or facetious or anything like that? Who's their backup? Who is actually their backup?
Kenny Pickett.
Because I never thought Aiden O'Connell was cut. Who is it?
Kenny Pickett.
And Aiden God.
And
oh, no.
AOC is on IR. He wasn't cut.
Yeah. Oh. Well, interesting. Chiefs. Chiefs by a million. I know that these division games can be weird, but it's in Arrowhead, and Geno's looking like Jameis out there serving up them turnovers. So, yeah, Chiefs. And it looks like they're hitting their stride at just the right time. I mean, division games are no laughing matter, but it'd be nice for them to string another two together.
Yeah. Chiefs have been looking pretty bad, but you were able to slug out a win against the Titans. Yeah. Chiefs by a bill. Minnesota and Philly. Eagles are favored by 1.5. Actually, real quick, guess the spread for the Chiefs game.
Chiefs probably about like what, 8.5, 9.5?
12.5. Philly by 1.5 in this game. It's in Minnesota. There was talks of potentially JJ McCarthy returning as well. Limited practice on Wednesday. Andrew Van Ginkle is also a limited participant in practice. This was a tough one for me because, like, the Eagles have been playing terrible. Them and the Bills both. Both 4-0 teams and both having back-to-back bad losses. At least the Bills have the benefit of having the bye week to kind of reset. But the Eagles now have to deal with a pretty good defense in Minnesota after dealing with a above average Giants defense and a really good Broncos defense. And you saw how they did against the above average Giants defense. You also saw how they did against a really good Broncos defense. I can only imagine what's going to happen with Minnesota. Not saying that anything bad is going to happen. I'm just going to say nothing good is going to happen. Now, I foresee this season, even though we're 6 weeks in, the Eagles should be fine. They'll probably make the playoffs, but I foresee this being a 2023 type of season where we are slowly watching the Eagles fall apart. And it's unfortunate because, you know, you were hoping Kevin Petullo would be the guy, but.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he ain't. Question is, do you fire him? It's hard to say. Like, it's easy to say yes, but then you remember that Jalen Hurts has now had a new offensive coordinator for every single season of his career, essentially. So it's, I don't know. I'm going with Minnesota. Give me JJ McCarthy. I say he bounces back with some fire. It's not going to be the prettiest game, but give me the Vikings here. I like him this week.
I understand why. I'm still going to have to go with Philly. Yeah, I think this game's going to be a lot uglier than maybe people think. And even if McCarthy plays, he's going to be rusty. And two, that Vikings O-line is and like I said, on paper, it shouldn't be. Ooh, but it is. So this is going to be a slugfest. A slobber knocker, as Chris likes to call them. And in a slobber knocker, I think Philly's going to push out a win.
Yeah. I mentioned trades earlier. Obviously, AJ Brown has been surfaced a lot in trade talks. Not actually, but, you know, it's just the rumors. Meant to bring this up for the Patriots, or at least the AJ Brown Patriots part. That's been shut down in terms of the Patriots heavily targeting a wide receiver. And that was earlier today. There was a report yesterday that they were looking aggressively for a receiver before the deadline. But now it sounds like they're going to try to get after a running back or an edge rusher.
Yeah, no, I hear that. It's we should probably move on.
Sorry. Well, there's also so much other stuff that we don't get.
Okay, to. Yeah, I mean, I know, but like, it's just a rumor. We can wait until before the trade deadline.
It's interesting news. That's all it is.
No, it is, but we'll see.
I just saw something that Kyle Duggar is potentially tagged to the Eagles for all we know.
Good, they can have him.
Yeah. New York and Carolina. Jets are in a world of shit. Give me the Panthers. Panthers are hot. I say
yeah, after beating Jacksonville, I think they're going to march right up to the Meadowlands and handle their business. Give me the Panthers.
Yeah.
And this game, like especially after the last one, Bryce Young played as well. This could be a huge confidence booster for him.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, this is another game where you could say this could potentially be a letdown game because of the opponent, but Panthers are hot. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up a big number on the Jets this weekend.
Yeah. Wouldn't be shocked either.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Late afternoon slate and prime time Sunday night football and the second half of Monday night football. This is the Fumble Risk Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risk Podcast. Should I say it now or should I wait for it, Adam? I don't know. I've brought it up already. George Kittle has now been released from IR. God bless America for fantasy owners like myself. I was going to save it for Sunday Night Football, but then I started talking about it. George Kittle's back. We'll talk more about it when we actually get to the game. Late afternoon. Denver and New York. I'm going Denver by a billion here. They're doing the Demaryius Thomas. They're retiring his number and doing a big tribute, bringing the Super Bowl 50 team back to the stadium as well. Motions are going to be running higher than a motherfucker. Give me the Broncos. I know the Giants themselves coming in with flames coming out of their ass, but this says Broncos all over it. I don't see them screwing up the Demaryius Thomas tribute day. Rest in peace.
Well, now I feel like a jackass for picking the Giants. Thanks for that. The thing is, that game against the Jets scares me so much.
Oh, same.
Yeah. And the Giants, I don't care if it's in Denver. And I know Mile High's a tough place to play just given the altitude. The Giants, man, just hand to Cam Scataboo and he'll headbutt someone. But as for the Broncos, I am really concerned about that offense. It's been kind of janky, but now the alarm bells are blaring. Demaryius Thomas Day or not, I'm actually tilting towards the Giants on this one. I think you don't need Dart to do a whole lot. I think if you could just get him to be a game manager, if you can get Cam Scataboo to even be half of what he was against Philly, you should come out okay. And for the Broncos, good Lord, fix that offense. But until they do, I like the Giants with the upset here.
See, I probably would have gone Giants as well, but it's Demaryius Thomas Day. I don't know. Like that's the only analysis I can give on that, really. I'm not even gonna say you're wrong about the Jets game. That definitely does scare me, but yeah. Chargers and Colts. Chargers are scary, but not in a good way. Scary.
Yeah, they're such a weird team. Like they almost lost to Miami. Then, last second walk-off field goal, I believe, save their ass. But Chargers, another team that's just too hurt. Down RB1, down RB2, down both your tackles. The offense is just ground to a halt, and understandably so. But the Colts, is Daniel Jones good? He's kind of having a Geno Smith, Sam Darnold revival, where I guess the key is just get the hell out of New York and you'll be good. So I think Herbert's going to keep it interesting, but I like the Colts to keep their momentum going.
I like him in this one as well. Do you want to hear what Daniel Jones is currently projected according to ESPN?
I would, yes.
It's nothing crazy, but 71.7 completion percentage, which is very good. 4,256 yards, 23 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
That's
pretty solid.
Nice. Like, that'd be a career best, I believe.
I think the only other one that I would probably say you're wrong with is probably 22, but
yeah,
his best season was 22, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 3,200 yards. That's a big Saquon year, of course. But he hasn't cracked 20 total touchdowns since his rookie season. So that would be like first time since 2019. But I'm going to agree, though, as well. Colts are too hot. Give me the Colts. Next game on the list. The Cowboys and the Commanders. I don't really know what to make of that loss against the Bears for Washington. I don't know what to make of
it. Yeah,
what do you make of it?
I just think that was a win until they shot themselves in the foot. They had that. Like, they were in control until that stupid fumble. And that's just, you could say maybe the defense should have stood taller there, but that's just a gut punch. After that, you were not going to win. And I think they're going to be playing angry, you know, like I really do. And you have a division rival against the Cowboys, who themselves are coming off a really weird loss to the Panthers. Or the Cowboys, I don't even think they're going to be angry. I just think, you know, Dak's out there doing all he can. But that's a team that still is just so pissed at its owner. They're wasting an MVP-level season from Dak. Stop me if you've heard that one before. And I like Washington in this one.
Yeah, we're talking about – I was telling you about the betrayal stat from The Athletic. And it's this stat where it's basically just taking the quarterback's EPA and defensive EPA, their ranks, and – that's the betrayal rating. So the Cowboys and Dak Prescott is the second ranked quarterback in terms of EPA. And Dallas is the worst defense in terms of EPA. So you subtract it out from Dak's EPA rank to defensive EPA rank, and you get minus 20, I should say. They did it weird on the video for some reason. They said 33 defenses. I don't know why. But I don't really like Washington right now. I think their offense has been weird. I think that they'll put up a good number on Dallas's defense, as my statistics are showing. But I like Dallas's offense here. CeeDee Lamb's going to be back, I'm pretty sure. Is that confirmed?
No, he's questionable.
I'm making a prediction that he's going to return. Even then, without CeeDee Lamb, this offense has been looking like nails. I'm going to go with Dallas. I'm going to go with Dallas with we'll call it an upset. We'll call it an upset since Washington is favored, but it's by 1.5. We'll call it the Dallas upset.
Yeah, I'm still going Commanders.
Yeah. All right. Sunday Night Football, Niners, Falcons. Falcons coming off of a huge win against the Bills on Monday night. Offense looked great. Second half was a little bit too much on cruise control for my liking, but Bijan and Drake London were unstoppable. Will they be able to do the same thing on this Niners defense, though? Well, it's going to be a little easier since Fred Warner is out for the year. I think we were saying on Tuesday's episode that he was set to have surgery earlier this week as well. Injuries, man, for the Niners. They've been able to figure it out outside of the injuries. But, of course, as we mentioned at the top of the break, George Kittle off of IR. So that's going to be huge for whoever ends up being at quarterback, whether it be Mac Jones, Brock Purdy. Is Purdy good to go for this week? That's another question. He's practicing. Thank you, Adam. He was practicing this week. So I guess all signs are leading towards Brock Purdy to start this week, which would be huge. So that's going to be massive in terms of obviously getting the pass game going, getting the run game going, because George Kittle is one of the best block tight end blockers in the league, if not the best. I like the 49ers here. I say that it's not going to be a letdown game from Atlanta, but they'll get brought back down to earth.
Yeah. With Purdy, I think Purdy will come back. And with Kittle coming back, I definitely think they're going to have the upper hand against Atlanta, who's riding high after a win. But I think they're going to come back down to earth now if they're going to have to travel to San Francisco. And San Fran needs to be getting healthy at just the right time. They're going to have to handle Christian McCaffrey. And don't get me wrong, they're going to get their licks in, but I think it's going to be one of those back-and-forth games where San Fran's just going to be a step ahead the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. Monday Night Football, second half of the Monday Night doubleheader, the Seahawks and the Texans. Oh, okay, never mind. So screw what I said about Brock Purdy. Mac Jones is trending to be the starter for this weekend. Either way, I mean, Mac Jones.
Yeah, I'm still going with San Fran.
Mac Jones has still been playing good ball for the Niners while filling in for Purdy. So I'd say that's pretty solid. He was limited in practice yesterday, but either way, the report, all roads lead to Sunday for Mac. All right. Any other quick breaking news from this freaking game before we move on to Monday Night Football?
No. Let's just keep it rolling.
Seahawks, Texans. Right off the bat, I don't foresee this being a high-scoring game. I don't. Texans' offense has been mediocre. Seahawks it's literally been every other game for them. Or every other, every two. For the talent that's on this Seahawks team, you'd expect more, but the run game has not been there either. Kenneth Walker is doing pretty solid, but Zach Charbonnet is... What were we saying? It was he's been averaging like 2.5 yards per carry, or less than that, I should say, something heinous. Seattle is currently favored in this game as well by 3.5 at home. Things are looking tough for the Texans because their offense has been less than mediocre, but. I got a weird feeling that CJ Stroud is going to muscle this team to victory. Give me a letdown game from the Seahawks. Give me the Texans on Monday Night Football.
Oh boy. This is something. The Texans are another team where it's really tough to make out what they are. But I still don't trust that offense. I think they've gotten lucky, even with like a bye week. I think Seattle's got a hot hand right now. And you have to go into Lumen Field and play, which, as you know, is one of the toughest places to play. And if they could throw cold water on Jacksonville, they can throw cold water on another AFC South team in Houston. Give me Seattle.
I like it. What was the name of the Seahawks field prior to them changing it?
CenturyLink.
Should have never changed it.
No, they really shouldn't have. CenturyLink.
Another one of those. No, it's like the Staples Center. They shouldn't have changed it to Staples Center. They shouldn't have changed CenturyLink. What's another one? What's another stadium that you can think of?
I don't know, man. We should probably.
I can't either. Yeah.
Can't think about it off the top of my head like that.
No, I can't. That was just a random thing that came to mind right off the bat. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the recap of Thursday Night Football. So we'll be jumping ahead to probably like 11 at night right after the game ends. This is the Full Marisky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Full Marisky Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Thursday Night Football. Boy, was this fun. This was a fun watch. Let's just start with that. It was fun to watch Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers go at it again. That was some good ball. Like, we weren't expecting much, but that was some good ball. I don't know.
Yeah,
CJ, but I was thoroughly pleased by the product tonight.
Oh, yeah. A good Thursday night game in this economy. What a time to be alive. And you know something, the Unc Bowl really, really was good. I was worried that it was going to be like a snooze fest, just ugly. But hey, Joe Burrow or Joe Flacco, a Bengals Joe, turned back the clock
again.
Got them the win. Oh my God. Even though he's on the Bengals somewhere, I know Tuck's a little happy right now.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be. I mean, Flacco had a great game. I want to talk about the Steelers defense in a second, but Flacco had a fantastic game. 342 yards. Half of his completions were to Jamar Chase, who had 16 catches for 160 yards. New Cincinnati Bengals record. Pat Freiermuth had a monster game as well, especially with that 63-yard touchdown. And Aaron Rodgers showed he still has a freaking arm with that Hail Mary bomb. He got it there. He fucking got it there. But hey, I began the game. I thought it was going to be all Steelers, and then Flacco started to turn. He just went back to square one. Find Jamar. He did that all night. Steelers defense, their ass. Or I should really say the secondary. The secondary is terrible. It's terrible. It's a point that I've been meaning to like touch on more throughout the season, but I just haven't. This secondary is bad. So bad. And it showed it tonight. Jalen Ramsey was getting cooked numerous times, especially on that last T. Higgins deep ball that set the Bengals up in, into field goal range.
Yeah. Like you said, which is weird. We all know Pittsburgh having a ferocious front seven, right? You know, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, even that rookie Derek Harmon from Oregon. But what do you have back there? Minka's gone. You just have old man Jalen Ramsey. The Joey Porter, I guess, has shown flashes at different points. Ugh.
It's not great.
It's not good. That's the problem. It's not good. And Adam, who's now with us right now, said in the chat, the more he looks at it, the more it's becoming clear the Steelers are a paper team. Yeah, you know, they beat up on bad teams or teams that shot themselves in the foot where they were able to eke out wins, and maybe I guess their luck ran out. I guess that's the easiest way I can think about it.
I mean, let's look at their schedule that they've had, which it makes sense. I mean, the Jets. I mean, they probably should have lost to the Jets. Seahawks. Yeah. That was their lone loss coming into tonight. Patriots just shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. The Vikings. I'll give them that one. Browns. Bad team. And then the Bengals, team that they probably should have beat, and they end up losing. Now, mind you, this it's not like Steelers got completely blown out, but they definitely got exposed for what they truly are. And that's all it is. It's a team that, you know, on paper in their prime would probably be one of the best teams in football, but this isn't, we're not in 2015. That's the best way to really say it. Obviously, some of these players wouldn't be on the team in 2015, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is just a very weird game. I mean, to watch Flacco turn back the clock, just to watch the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers play well, but I don't know. The more I think about it, right? The more I look at Rodgers, this is where Rodgers, the double-edged sword, comes into play, right, when we talk about the Steelers. He's the reason they've been in game. He's the reason they were in this game, but he's also the reason they lost. I mean, the media is going to gush over his four touchdowns, right? Which his numbers were, I think, a little inflated, but they're still pretty good. The problem was he kept you in the game, but he also cost you. Not one, but two interceptions. He doesn't throw those. Odds are you win.
One of them being at the end of the first half as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Like that, that was... That, I mean, even going into the halftime, that was just a real momentum killer. And it's just, you know, the more, like I said, like just the more I think about it, I'm sorry. I know everyone's going to ogle over the numbers. And yes, it's good eye candy. But like I said, his numbers were a little inflated. You know, your numbers tend to be inflated in a shootout. But like I said, those picks, I'm sorry, I can't look past the interceptions. That's what cost Pittsburgh the game. And look, I'm sure all the Rodgers fanboys can point all the fingers that they wanted at his secondary. And true, that's the problem. But last time I checked, the secondary didn't turn the ball over twice.
Yeah. The two interceptions that Rodgers threw ended up as the final 10 points of the half that were scored. Both by the Bengals, of course, but I wouldn't completely put the, I would say that Rodgers kept the Steelers in the game more than he hurt the Steelers. So
I guess I agree, but they win if he doesn't throw those two picks.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. Cause they ended up resulting in 10 points for the other side. I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but I mean, the second half, he absolutely turned it up and they had the lead at one point, but Steelers secondary couldn't get it done at the end of the day. So that's kind of why I kind of lean more towards he did more to help than he did to hurt. But obviously it's hard to say that when he did give the two picks did ultimately result in 10 points to a 10 point swing to the other side. So there's two sides of the coin there. That's for sure. And both things can be true at once. He shot, get rid of those. Cause at that point, when those interceptions happen, right, it's at the, it's with 4:32. The first one happens with 4:32 left in half. At that point, you're in a 5-minute offense. You're thinking of hold on to this ball for as long as possible to end the half, true up some clock, get six, maybe a field goal, see what happens. And Bengals probably only come away with 7 or 3 if they get the ball back next time around before the half ends. So there's that. There's another little deep dive that you could probably think of when you look at that. Is this me talking myself into your side of the argument now?
Yeah. I mean, look, like I said, I know you give him more. I understand you say that, but like I said, 10 points off of turnovers. That was the nail.
Yeah. And also, you know, not to bring down any other performances on the Steelers side too, because Jalen Warren had a fantastic game on the grounds, almost 8 yards per carry, 16 carries, 127 yards. Pat Freiermuth was a dog, as we were saying. Five catches, 111 yards, two touchdowns. The great offensive numbers from the Steelers. Nothing for DK Metcalf, as we were saying earlier, but that's more of a CJ want, if anything. I mean, Steelers fans would like to see DK Metcalf involved more, but
yeah,
that's just Art Smith at that point.
Yeah, although I'm not going to lie, there was a play where Rodgers threaded the needle to DK, and DK had it in both hands, and I believe it was DJ Turner on the Bengals who just ripped it out for the pick. Like, he was hauling it in, but just didn't do it. And DK, you know, when you're as big as he is, what is he? He's like 6'4", like 230, is a wide receiver who can run a 4.4, and, you know, and you're bigger and stronger than pretty much every corner in the league. And you basically grab a ball on a guy's head and let it get wrenched from you. You can't be doing that.
Is this now you talking yourself into more of my side of the argument?
No, that's just me talking from a fantasy perspective, because I had DK in one league. I did have Jamar Chase in the other. So, you know, perfect to balance as all things should be. But
technically, it's only one interception then for Rodgers, because one of them is a receiver interception.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument, and I agree. But the only thing that I'll say of DK's defense is that it was
a little high,
pretty tight coverage.
It was a little high. It was tight. It was going to be a tough catch.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're DK Metcalf, you are expected to haul those types of passes in. Especially if Rodgers is going to thread the needle like that. Anything else from this game you want to touch on?
No, not really. I mean, the Bengals are 3-4, though. They're only one game shy of 500. That's pretty much it. And as for the Steelers, we already said, like, they're essentially paper Tigers. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the question, I guess, is can Joe almost do what you did and said Joe Burrow?
Well, you know, Joe on the Bengals, man.
Yeah, Joe on the Bengals. Question is Joe Flacco going to be able to pull off another miracle run this time with the Bengals, just like he did with the Browns, get him a playoff spot? But
he's got the weapons too.
AFC North's wide open.
It really is.
Yeah. Or at least for now, till Lamar comes back.
That is something that I do want to see. Like, can Lamar, because if they string together like four games in a row, tough ass, even with the injuries, with the injuries, even with Lamar coming back, then hey, I mean, it looked like Pittsburgh was going to run away at the division because, you know, the Browns are in like the umpteenth year of their rebuilding stage. The Bengals and Ravens are just too injured.
Yeah.
So maybe Pittsburgh's not running with this after all.
Yeah. Baltimore's got the bye week to kind of rest up and heal up as well, too. So see what they can do out of that. All right. That is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Also be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.